Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I want to give you a few thoughts out of here. Here in just a minute, we'll read our text. When you come to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I find it interesting that Paul is in prison. It's what it's known as a prison epistle. And in chapter 1, verse number 1, he says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Know what he says? An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, as he begins this letter, says absolutely nothing about being in prison. In other words, he's not complaining about the will of God in his life, because it was the will of God that took Paul to prison. What I mean by that, Paul was simply doing what God would have him to do and ends up being incarcerated for that. As he goes on in the book, he begins to tell us that perilous times will come. He starts in chapter number 3, and I'll get to my text in just a second, have you stand, but he said this in chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Can I say something? We are in perilous times. He said to Timothy, perilous times are coming. But when we read chapter 3, verse number 1 through 4, man, it's like reading about our day today. We are living in unholy days. We're living in sad days. We're living in days where, as we was reminded last night, that people has no respect for law enforcement. They have no respect for life in general. We are there. You say, well, preacher, I come to get encouraged. Well, just stay with me a little while. We are in last days. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Matter of fact, Paul, whenever you study this in 2 Timothy, you'll find that it is the last letter that Paul writes. Paul didn't make a phone call from the prison cell because he didn't have no phone. Paul is writing from the prison cell, and we could say it this way. It's the last words of the Apostle Paul. It's what he's saying on his deathbed because he's fixing to be. His life is fixing to be taken simply for loving God and living for God. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying this, on my deathbed, my last words, I've got something that I want to say to you. And he begins to write. He picks up in verse number 14, if you will stand in honor in reverence to the reading of God's word. He says this in verse 14 of chapter number 3. Now, I like the first two words. I'm not going to preach on them. I did yesterday. But continue. He said, even though we are in the last days, even though there is those that have a form of godliness denying the power therein. And I'm just going to say this in passing, but boy, there's a lot of people living in verse number 5 of this text having a form of godliness. You hear me and you hear me well. If there's never been a change in your life, there's never been conversion in your life. And I got to move, but if there's not a love for the brethren, there's not a conversion in your life. If you can treat people wrong and do any old way, it don't matter how much you go to church, they've got a form of godliness. Even though there is a crowd like that today, Paul is telling Timothy, man, you better get some grit in your crawl and decide by the help of God you're going to continue in what God put you in. Now, I just want to say this, and then I'm going to get into my text, and I'm going to preach to you. I want to say this to you. In this new year, may we continue. May we decide that, hey, look up in here. You may vote me out, but you're not going to run me off. In other words, what I mean by that is this. You can talk about me. You can run me down. You can walk away, but by the help of God, I'll continue in what God has for me to do. He says, but continue thou, watch what he says, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All, if you're writing your Bible, I invite you to circle that word right there, all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Note again in verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here's what I want to preach on for just a few minutes this morning. I think I'll just stay with the Bible. I think I'll just stay with the Bible. Father, I love you today. You know the need of this service. God, I pray, Lord, that thy will and way would be done. God, I pray that if there's anybody here lost today, that they'd be saved today. Anybody here out of your will today, I pray, God, that you'd bring them back close to you. God, you know those that are sitting here, God, that may be hurting, God, from different situations in their life. And God, I pray that they find comfort today. God, I pray that your will and way would be done in our service. Work and move and work as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. As I've already said to you, Paul is writing to young Timothy, and Paul is telling him that those perilous times are coming. As I've already said, I believe that we are living in those perilous times. In order to strengthen and encourage the young preacher in his ministry, Paul urged him in verse number 14 to continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of. Paul appointed him to the Holy Scriptures in verse number 15. You see, there may be a lot of quote-unquote teaching or preaching going on today, but if it is not directly from the Word of God today, then it is to no avail. And can I say this to you today? That's the reason it is so important when we do teach or we do preach that we preach it in context. And it's right. You can take the Word of God out of context and make a mess out of it. Heard a guy preach one time. I'd never called no names. Matter of fact, I don't know the guy's name. Matter of fact, never heard him preach again. Matter of fact, probably never will hear him preach again. I heard him preach on this. Job was just a man. Well, the Bible says Job was a just man. He preached on Job was just a man. He was so far out of context. That's not what that's saying. It's saying Job was a just man. He was a man that lived for God. It didn't have nothing to mean that he was just a man like everybody else. No, he was different than everybody else because he loved God. We must understand the Bible in context. Why did I invite you in the first 21 days of the year to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts in 21 days? So you will get to know the Bible and you'll get to know who Jesus is and what he can do in your life. The Bible this morning. The days in which we live are certainly no less perilous than in Timothy's time. It is still a world of religious instability,
And more than ever, we need to continue in the truths which we have learned in this important passage. We are reminded of what the Bible has to say about itself and of the important place the Bible ought to hold in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches today. Can I say something to you today? We still need the Bible, amen. We're living in a day today that the Bible is attacked. If you go to, boy, don't nobody fall out with me right here. If you do, you just come back in a couple weeks. Brother Jeremy will be here for two nights preaching on why we use the King James Bible. If you go to the common quote-unquote Christian bookstore today, with the exception of Gullion's, and walk in, and there's 937 different books on the shelf. I'm not talking about all the books out that says books. A lot of them says Bible. There's not but one Bible. Now you can say amen or oh me, this is more a Sunday night or a Wednesday night message, but God said preach it this morning for some reason. There's not but one Bible today, and it's the authorized King James Version of the Word of God today. Hear me and hear me well. I don't need nothing else. I'm not going to nothing else. I'm not reading nothing else. I'm not studying out of nothing else. I choose to use the King James Bible because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The other is nothing more than man's opinion of a watered-down gospel. Matter of fact, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is this in the book of Luke, where the Bible said, "For the Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost." And you know what you'll find in most modern day versions? Let me back up and rephrase that. Most modern day perversions, you know what you'll find? You'll find that that verse is taken out, completely taken out of the Bible. Hear me and hear me well. I'm glad that verse is in my Bible today, because there was a day that I was lost and on the road to hell, and I sure am glad that He come to seek and save me. Oh, yes, it's the Word of God today. So when I say I think I'll just stay with the Bible, I'm talking about the old authorized King James Version of the Bible. You say, well, preacher, why would you stay with it? Well, let me show you three things and we'll go home and eat chicken. Number one, why we turn to the Bible. Why we turn to the Bible. Verse 14 of our text, Paul reminds Timothy of the Bible, of his Bible upbringing. He said this in verse number 15, "And that from a child thou hast known of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." What a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. You say, "Preacher, I didn't see it." Well, let me read it again. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now listen, "which are able." What is able? The Scripture. "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Why are we people of the book? Why do we turn to the Bible as the resource and the authority for the Christian faith? Well, can I say this? Here's why we turn to the Bible: because of the power that we find in the Scripture. The Word of God is powerful today. Paul reminds Timothy of the Scriptures. He had been taught since he was just a boy. And he said that those Holy Scriptures were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's a unique ability found only in the Word of God. It is the power to make one rise unto salvation. You say, "Well, preacher, how did you know that you needed to be saved?" Here's the reason I knew that. There was an old time man of God stood up in the power and the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God and opened the Word of God and preached the Bible to me. The power that we find in the Scriptures. It was through the Scripture that I learned that I was lost. There's a guy, King, said this: "The Bible has many functions to perform, but first and foremost, fundamentally this, to make the plan to sinful men the way of salvation. What did he say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that word quick mean? It simply means this. It means alive today. The word of God is alive today. Hey, what did the Bible say? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He goes on to say in verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hear me and hear me well. This word right here, it is God today. It's powerful. Other religions, other religious books exist. The Muslims have what they call a Quran. While these may instruct them in their particular regional religion, none of them have the actual power to reveal to men that God, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. It's only the Bible today that reveals the power of God unto salvation. Why do we turn to it? Because of the power that we find in the Scripture. But can I say this? Why do we turn to it? Because of the person. Oh, yes, good neighbor. Because of the person we find in it. Paul reminds Timothy in verse number 15 again. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, who are able to make thee wise unto salvation, watch this, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's a person. Yes, yes. There's a person in the Word of God. The Bible does not just point us to salvation. It points us to a Savior today. The Bible is not an end in itself. It is the means to the true end, which is Jesus Christ. John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. Why did he say search the Scriptures? He's saying this, search me, because it's in the Scriptures that you'll find me in the Scriptures. Why do we love the Bible? Why do we constantly turn to its pages? It's because in them we meet Jesus. In them we find him who our soul loves. One said it this way, I find my Lord in the book whenever I chance to look. He is the theme of the Bible, the center of the heart of the book. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily fair. Wherever I open my Bible, guess what? The Lord you'll find there. Oh, yes, it's the person of the Bible. Why do I pick up my Bible? Why do I turn to my Bible? It's not just because of the power that's in it. Oh, but it's because of the person that's in it. It's the person that's in it. I don't know about you, but I sure like it when I begin to read it and he begins to talk to me. One has said it this way, when we pray, we talk to God. When we read our Bible, God talks to us. I love my Bible today. Why we turn to the Bible. Number two this morning, can I say this to you? Why we trust in the Bible. You ever thought about that? I mean, our whole life is based off of this. Our whole life, everything that I do is based off this. Why do we trust the Bible today? Well, he said this in verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why do we turn to the Bible today? Let me give you a couple of things right here. I would say this. The Bible's historic authority. The Bible's historic authority. Paul assured Timothy by saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at the word Scripture. And whenever you began to think about it and look at it and study it out, it comes from a Greek word that gives us our English word, graph or graphic. The word simply means writings. Some 1900 years ago, when Paul used this word, both he and Timothy knew what he was referring to. Even though the New Testament was not yet complete, there were certain writings that were considered holy and sacred. And these were known as the writings of the Scriptures. I thought about this. I read this week. though men have always tried to question and attack the authority of the Bible, still today it retains its integrity. The 18th century, a man named Volitor used the new printing press to write books attacking Christianity and the church. Back then, Volitor said that in 50 years, the church would be extinct and the only Bibles left would be on the shelves of museums. Well, today, Volitor is dead, but the Bible lives on. In fact, after his death, Volitor's own house became an office for the Geneva Bible Society, and his own printing press began to print the Word of God, the Bible. We trust the Bible because of its historic authority. Its historic authority. I could talk to you for days about its historic authority. You know what? Everything that's coming to pass in this world right now is right there. Nations turning against nations, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, without natural affection, without natural... What about this? And truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures. In other words, they need 3 weekends a month on vacation and 1 weekend a month in the house of God. I'm trying to move on. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. More. Amen. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own self. If there's ever been a prideful generation, we're there. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. All this is coming. Guess what? It's here. The historic authority of the Bible. That's why I trust it. Because everything it says is coming true. Watch this. The Bible's heavenly author. Why do I trust it? Because who the author is. That's what makes the difference. Who wrote it? Well, you just said Paul wrote this. Well, let's look at something. The Bible says this. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration simply means two words, God and breathe. Literally, the Bible is God breathed. The breath of God in each Scripture as man's breath is in his words, making them to be the vehicle of his thought. Think of it this way. Though Paul's quill was moving on the parchment as he wrote this letter to Timothy, God's breath was moving his mind and his quill. Though John's heart and emotions bleed through in the books he wrote, it was the breath of God that moved that beloved disciple as he wrote. Yes, the Bible was penned with human hands and uttered through the vehicle of human mouths. But behind all the humanity was a breath of divinity as God breathed it and man wrote. Oh, yes. I feel like it's deader than midnight in here right now. But, son, I'm preaching on why we trust this book right here. Why everything we do at the house of God is based off of this book right here. Why in the midnight hours I can still put a smile on my face. Here's the reason why. I've got a book that says we know all things work together for good to them that love God. We trust it today. Why we trust it today? Well, we trust it because it's historical authority, but we trust it more than anything because of its heavenly author. God wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible. Number three, why we turn to the Bible, why we trust in the Bible. Number three, why do we teach from the Bible? Why we teach from the Bible. Again, I know this is more really a Wednesday night message than a Sunday morning, but man, the Lord just wouldn't let me get away from it. Why do we teach from the... Why, when I got up here this morning, did I just not open a fairy tale and read it? Are you with me? Why didn't I just stand up and give some story from this week. You know what I could have done? I could have stood up here and for 30 minutes I could have told you stories about the meeting that we was in this week. My soul, we've had that meeting for 8 years at Turkey Cove, and this year surpassed everyone. None of them was even close to what this year was at it. It was unreal. And I could have stood up here and told you stories about Brother Granville, and I could have told you stories about Dad, and I could have told you stories about Brother Chris throwing his foot up on the platform while he's preaching or up on the pulpit. Why, I could have told you all of that. But that's not what I'm instructed to do. According to the Word of God and my pastor, as he preached on Friday morning, I'm to preach the Word. I'm not to give my opinion. I'm not to tell you what I may think. I'm to preach the Word of God. Hear me and hear me well. When you teach from the youngest up to the oldest, it's not some story that you're reading out of a book today. It is the Word of God. It is God-breathed today. Well, why do we teach from the Bible? Why do we teach from the Bible? In many churches, the pulpit is a place front and center on the platform. This is more than a matter of decor. The pulpit at the center of the platform symbolizes the central place that the preaching and teaching of God's Word have in the life of the church. It's the central theme of the church. The Word of God. Amen. If a song is sung and it's not scriptural, it's not going to be sung again. Can I just back up and say that again? If a song is sung and it's not, no, I'm not going to set them down while they sing it, but after service, I can promise you I'm going to talk to them. I've never had to do it, but I will. And I'll say, hey, look, that song right there just really had nothing to do with God. Really had nothing to do with the things of God. Or maybe it did think it had something to do with God, and it was off doctrinally. Oh, no. The center theme is the Word of God. In this church, I unapologetically proclaim that preaching is the central act of Christian worship, and that true preaching is proclamation an exposition of the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. Why do not we do not gather here to listen to philosophies of men, the news of the day, or a particular denomination? We gather here to hear what thus saith the Lord. It is the Bible that is taught in this place. What is this? Why is this so strong of a conviction? Well, can I show you why we teach from the Bible? Can I say this to you? How relevant it is for our lives. How relevant the Word of God is for our lives. I'm telling you, whatever your life needs, it's right here. Matter of fact, there was a girl stood up on Friday night in the meeting, and Brother Chris never even got to preach. He talked a minute. He never even got to preach Friday night. And she stood up and she was a squalling and a crying and a snotting. And I didn't know if she's even going to be able to talk there for a minute. It was just one of them. Y'all know what I mean? She done went to ugly crying. In youth meetings, when you a girl and you a teenager and you ugly cry, that means God's done got on you or somebody's broke your heart. She went to snotting and crying. And here's what she said. She said, I've come to realize, she's probably 15, 16 years old. She said, I've come to realize this is all I need. And she held it up close to her. And she said, every answer that I need, it's right here. I've come to realize as a young person, all I need is the Bible. It's relevant to us today. You say, well, it was written thousands of years ago. Oh, it's relevant today. You say, I can't understand it. The reason some can't understand it, it's because they've never met the author. It's relevant. I thought about this. Look again at verse 16. I'm almost done. It's 11:57. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice the word profitable. It comes from the word that literally means to be useful and helpful. The Bible is useful and helpful. Paul says that it's useful and helpful for doctrine,
That is, it tells us what is true and right. In a world that is so full of doubts, deceptions, and disputes, guess what? The Bible reveals what's really true. It is helpful for reproof. That means that it not only can tell us what is right, it can also convict us of what is wrong. It is profitable for correction. That means that once it tells us what is right and what is wrong, it can then strengthen us to do what is right. Lastly, Paul says that it's useful. The usefulness of the Bible is seen in the instruction in righteousness. The ideal is training a disciple. The Bible can train us and disciple us in how to live holy lives. I thought about this. The truth of the Bible is still mighty, even in a modern world. The evidence is seen in the fact that today millions and millions of people around the world, living in a digital age and technological age, advancements and human achievements, will still gather to hear the words of a book originally recorded by herdsmen, tribal kings, slaves, prisoners, adulterers, adulteress, and lowly fishermen. Why? Because they've come to realize that there is something different about this book, and it's relevant to our lives. I say this in closing. It's not only relevant to our lives. Why do we teach it? It's rewarding to our lives. It's rewarding. I've already said it, but I say it again. I got saved because of the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the Word of God. It's rewarding in our life. Verse 17, the chapter ends, and Paul assures Timothy that when the profitable, useful Word of God is applied, the result is this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, Paul said, Timothy, stick with the book. If you do that, you'll find it profitable, and it will give you all you need to be all that you need to be in the service of God. The word perfect in verse 17 doesn't mean without flaws or sin. It carries the idea of completeness or completion. This is also the picture in the phrase thoroughly furnished. It comes from a word that was used to describe a boat that was completely outfitted and had everything it needed for its journey that it was about to face. In other words, the vessel was fully equipped for anything that it faced. Can I tell you something this morning? In closing, Miss Daniel, will you come start playing softly? This book right here will fully equip you for everything you need in your life. I read this, and I'll read it to you in closing. Generations follow generations. In other words, one comes and another one goes. Generations follow generations, yet it lives. Nations rise and nations fall, yet it lives. Kings, dictators, presidents come and go, yet it lives. Torn, condemned, burned, yet it lives. Hated, despised, and cursed, yet it lives. Doubted, suspected, criticized, yet it lives. Scoffed at by the scorners, yet it lives. I thought about this, misconstrued and mistreated, yet it lives. Ranted and raved about, yet it lives. Its inspiration is denied over and over, yet it lives. Yet it lives as a lamp to our feet, as a light to our path, as the gate to heaven. Yet it lives as a standard for the childhood, as a guide for the youth, as an inspiration for the mature, as a comfort for the age. Yet it lives as food for the hungry, as water for the thirsty, as rest for the weary, as light for the heathen. Yet it lives as salvation for the sinner, as a grace for the Christian. To know it is to love it. To love it is to accept it. To accept it means life eternal.
You say, preacher, how are you closing out 2023? I'm closing out 2023 saying, I think I'll just stay with the book. I think I'll just stay with the Bible. I think I'll just stay with the book. Let me tell you something. When you're lonely and you're tired and you don't know what to do, thank God we can pick up the printed page of God's Word. When you can't understand it because of sickness or you can't read because of a physical ailment, thank God for technology today. We can put something in our ears or we can turn it on out loud and we can begin to listen to the Word of God. I'm telling you today, there's nothing like the Bible. Thank God for my Bible today. In my lowest moments, it's been there. In my highest moments, it's been there. In the darkest storms of my life, it's been there. In the brightest days of my life, it's been there. When I didn't know what to do, it's been there. It's never left me. It's never forsaken me. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I think I'll just stay with the book today. I think I'll just stay with the Bible today. Thank God for my Bible today. Thank God for my Bible. I want you to hear me right here. Friends will let you down. There'll be time when family lets you down. I promise you the foes that you work with will let you down. There'll be times when those that you sit on the church pew with let you down. There'll be times, if you've not been there, you'll get there, that you're so overwhelmed you don't know what to do. And all of those times, there's a Bible. Not a book, there's a Bible. There's a living Word today. So Jesus is not with us anymore. I know he's sitting good in English, but I think you'll understand. Ain't you got a Bible? He's with me if I got my Bible. And that's the reason the psalmist instructed us to hide his Word in our heart. Leslie was talking to her mama the other day. I got a good mother-in-law, man. She loves God. She really does. She's talking to her. Leslie the other day, and they was talking about reading the Bible. She was talking about things that they had read. And here's what my mother-in-law, Kathy, said. She said, honey, when I get to a place that I'm not able to read anymore, will you make me a promise? And Leslie said, what's that? She said, will you promise me that you'll just sit beside my bed and read the Bible to me? Let me tell you the reason why. Because it's real. It's real. I'll ask you this question in closing. Have you met its author? Because if you hadn't, you don't understand what I'm saying this morning. You don't understand just the help. Man, the comfort. It don't matter where you turn to. Son, it's there. David, in one of the darkest storms of his life, said he encouraged himself in the Lord. From the Word. If you've never met him this morning, sure would be a good day to meet him. Father, as we